taken my pain, turned it into joy, who has straightened my path. Who has taken my sorrow and remade my tomorrow, who has erased my past. None but you, Lord, none but you, Jesus, none but you, none but you, Lord, none but you, none but you.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Dawson, for the special message and song. I hope you listen to those words and the fact that nobody could have ever done what he's done for us, and what a wonderful, wonderful privilege it is to be a child of God. And we certainly owe him a lot more than we could ever give him. If we gave him all of our time, all of our talent, all of our treasure, it wouldn't begin to be enough. Thank you, Pastor Dawson, for having us to be here at Shining Light once again. We certainly thank the Lord for the Missions Conference and all that it's meant to us over the years, and be able to see how God has worked in a special way to help this church reach around the world. And that's what it's all about. There's nothing like the local church. I've spent a good deal of my Christian life around missionaries. I served 20 years on the board of BIMI. And we had 1,000 missionaries out on the field. And twice a year, as an agency, we met in June and in December. And we'd have the board would sit there, and we'd have all the missionaries come, and they would be able to share their testimonies and talk about what was going on, candidate school and all of that. And so I've heard every story imaginable about what happens to missionaries on the field, how they're often treated. They look at sometimes as second-class citizens. I think the problem today is not missionaries as much as the local churches, because we need to understand missionaries are called out of local churches. And then if here's something I believe, and I've seen for past being in the ministry 37 years, if you can't get people to be missionaries across the street, you're not going to get people to be missionaries around the world, because they come out of local churches. And that's why when I preach on missions, I stress the importance of the local church as we started here this week and understand, let's do our part and let God do his part. If we put people in these pews, God will call them out of these pews and send them around the world. And that's what it's all about. So thank you for allowing me to be a part of this conference. Thank you all for coming out each night and being here. And we won't take a long time tonight, because most of you probably been here most of the time and probably can't give you a whole lot more than you haven't heard before. But I'm going to give you just a challenge here. Proverbs chapter 13. We're going to look at one verse in Proverbs chapter 13. And then we're going to tie all of this together. And then we're going to take our faith promise commitment. And let's see what God will do through the ministry of the Shining Light Baptist Church for this upcoming year for world evangelization. Proverbs chapter 13, once you find your place, if you're physically able to stand, I'll read this verse and then we'll mention it throughout the preaching of the Word of God here tonight. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 23. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. Our Father, we're so thankful tonight for this final service of this year's missions conference. We do thank you for those who've come out this week. I believe that a missions conference is important for the people of the local church to be able to have our hearts challenged and be reminded that what happened to us could not have been done by none but you. And we're thankful, and we certainly are indebted to you for our salvation. And Father, I pray that we could be found faithful, doing our very best to help reach this lost and dying world, which you died for, and many have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to realize as a local church that these kind of churches don't exist around a great part of the world. And it's our responsibility to send missionaries out that they may establish them and see them be able to reach the world as well. I pray you'll bless tonight. Take me as your servant. Cleanse me of any sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit. You bless the teaching and preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Before I look at this verse, we're going to chop it up a little bit and look at it tonight. I want to remind us about our missions conference and where we started. We started Wednesday night talking about what God had given the church. That's very important. If we don't understand that, then we'll never understand missions. And I say that because I preach a lot of places where people don't understand. We hear about missionaries going to the field, and we see presentations, and we're burdened, and we see all the condition of the world, and that's supposed to stir us and motivate us, and it should. But we have to understand that those people that are motivated and stirred are then called by the Holy Spirit out of a local church. And then the local church has the responsibility to send them. So it's important that we understand the plan for evangelizing the world was an authentic plan given to the church by Christ as a command. So as a part of the local church, I need to understand that. The promise that he gave was a promise of his direct presence and divine providence that was given to the local church and those that are involved in the local church. The power he makes available, the church was immersed in the power of God there in the Church of Jerusalem, and then they were empowered to do what he had given them the responsibility and commanded them to do. And then we understand that with all of that authentic plan and that assured promise and that available power, God says, I can only advance this plan by the provisions of the people of God. So that's where we come in. Now we've got to help the plan to be advanced by how God uses our time and our talent and our treasure. We need to understand that as members of the local New Testament church. Then we talk about these people who are going to help advance this plan by our provisions. Then we are to form a team. God wants to build in a church a great missions team. The great missions team, as we saw from David's team that lasted 40 years, there are no drafted personnel. God never forces people to get involved in mission. We find that a great missions team is not delayed by problems. People have problems. We have distress problems. We have debt problems. But as we heard this morning, we need to be discontented or dissatisfied enough about the condition of the world that I'm not going to let distress and debt stops me from getting on the missions team. And then we talked about the fact that whether absent of the body, we'll be present with the Lord, whether I'm on earth or whether I'm in heaven. I want to labor to please him. I want to bring a smile on the face of Almighty God as to how I give my time, what kind of team player I am, what kind of a church member I am. I live to please him. And then we saw in Sunday school, we talked about the fact that I want to learn to be a liberal giver. That's important. The more liberal I am in giving, the more we can advance the plan. And then we talked this morning about abiding in the church, staying in the church. This organism, by the way, if God gave the Great Commission to the local church, then if the local church is what God has given to evangelize the world, then that's where I ought to abide. You believe that? Say amen. I ought to get anchored down there and help the church to do that. And that's so important. And then tonight, I want us to look at a practical precept that will give us a principle that will help us to understand how we at this point in life can help this to be accomplished. We find here in this passage that I just read that the bulk of the food in the land of Palestine was not produced. I mean, when you look at the needs of the people, you look at the feeding of the people, the bulk of the food to feed the people did not come from a few large farms. It came from the cultivation of unnoticed patches of land where the man, a woman, or the person took that little patch of land and said, this is what's been given to me, and I'm going to take that little patch of land and I'm going to do my very best. I'm going to pull the weeds. I'm going to fertilize it. I'm going to work it the best that I can. Then I'm going to let God send the sunshine, send the rain. And then when all of those patches are being worked diligently by the people, then God will gather them all together and feed the multitude of people. When I see that, I understand the work of God. You know, when it comes to missions, when it comes to the work of God, God hasn't given everybody a big piece of land. Everybody in here doesn't own a rich farm. All right, that may not be the case. But one thing that God has given everybody here is at least a little patch. Yes, sir. A little patch. Amen. The thought I want you to think about tonight is that every one of us has at least a patch. I can forget about missions. I could find an excuse not to be involved if I don't own a big piece of land. But I have no excuse if I have a patch. I have a patch that's been given me by Almighty God. And what God is looking for tonight, he's not looking for this church here to have people in here who may be wealthy. If you are, we know from missions, if you've been around any length of time, you can give by faith, you can give by grace, you can give sacrificially, or if you're so well off, you can give out of your abundance. God will bless them all. All right, but wherever you are, God's simply looking at what you do with what he has given to you, how you manage it, how you use it for his honor and glory. I've preached in enough places where I have seen how it works. I've seen people who give out of their abundance. They don't need faith. They don't need grace. They got a checking account or a savings account or an income that's big enough to be able to give generously to missions, and God will bless that. I've seen people, like years ago, a lady was on Social Security, didn't make a whole lot of money, but she committed $60 a week. This was in the early 80s, committed $60 a week that she did not have. And at the end of 52 weeks, she stood up and gave a testimony that every single week, God provided me $60 to give to missions. All right, she didn't give out of her abundance. She either gave by faith or grace or whatever, but God provided. So but she made the most of her little patch. Her Social Security was her little patch. She loved God enough, was burdened enough, that said, I'm going to make the most of my little patch. She may have had to get up early in the morning, fall on her face before God and say, God, I've got to go to church in a few moments, but I don't have it. Well, how am I going to do it? God provided it every single time. She may have to bathe it in prayer and trust God, but she made the most of her little patch. So I've seen people give that way. I was preaching a number of years ago. And by the way, wherever you fit in here, if you turn out to be pretty wealthy and you want to give your missions out of your wealth, go right ahead. I guarantee you God will smile and bless you in a special way. But probably most people in Shining Light Baptist Church, you're not giving out of a big piece of land. You've just got a little patch. So I'm going to hit probably most people in here. And that big time giver, we may not touch. But I don't know. I've seen God give do great things in church. I was preaching in Kansas, I guess, a number of years ago in a pretty good sized church. They ran 600-700. Every year, their faith promise was around $600,000 a year. And they would always talk about how great the faith promise. I found out by talking to the preacher, one of the reasons that they averaged $600,000 every year, because they had a man who was a great businessman in that church, and he replaced windows all over the country, and he had made a lot of money, and he was giving a big chunk of that money to missions. Now, I'm the kind of person where I believe that whether the church, I don't care whether you are a big-time businessman or you work at McDonald's. I think you ought to get involved in God's missions program. And I think sometimes God may look at the gift from the McDonald's worker a lot different than they might look at the one who owned the big business. So I was preaching. I started on Wednesday night. I preached on Sunday night and finished the last message. He was sitting over there. Already knew that he gave, I'm not talking about hundreds of dollars, I'm talking about tens of thousands of dollars that he was giving to missions every year. Good, fine Christian man. I was preaching the last night, and I looked over at him, and I was preaching the message, and I saw that during that message, he was convicted about something. I mean, you have the man that's the highest giver in the church, and he's convicted about what he's given. He had already committed that morning to give tens of thousands of dollars of that commitment. So I finished preaching. He went to the altar, and then I got a call. I flew back home. My wife and I flew back home. I got a call from the preacher that next day, and he says, Brother Baldwin, he said, our faith promise has come in. It's well over $600,000 a year. God has done great things. He said, I did have something unusual happen this time. We got one commitment in there that we're not going to count because it's foolish. And we don't want to, we don't want to put something in there that doesn't make any sense. I don't know. Maybe he was thinking like I thought sometime that some kid might have filled out a little card. So he said, we're not going to count that. But we've had, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was well over 600,000, maybe 700,000. He said, we're not going to count that offering. And then I got a call the next Monday morning from him again. He says, Brother Baldwin, you remember I told you that offering that I was not going to count? He said, well, I changed my mind because I got the first check in the offering plate this morning for $50,000, and I understand there's several more coming behind that. So here's a man that gave out of his abundance and got what he was doing on a regular basis. People will look at that as doing a lot, but when God got a hold of his heart and he realized how much God had given him, he said, I'm not doing my very best. So he cultivated what God had given him, and he gave far beyond what he was already giving because he realized he had a large field given to him by God that he needed to cultivate it and do the very best that he could. Last year at the end of our missions conference, when we were counting up the cards, we do the same thing that you all are going to do here shortly. And I started reading off, my son, the pastor was reading off the card, and I was calculating. And we have a number of people in our church that give 100. We have several that give over 300,000. But I got this one card that said $525 a week. And I didn't think anything of it. So I later on found out by accident when I was pastoring, I never look at what people gave. But I found out that the person who gave that $525 a week committed in the missions conference had already committed the year before $500 a week and gave it for 52 weeks. I found out that was a single adult young lady in our church that I pray every single day for years that God would give her the right kind of husband. Her family lives the farthest away from our church, I believe, than any family that we have. She is a teacher, just a teacher that lives with her parents. And God got a hold of her heart and said, you know what? God's given me a teaching job. I'm living with my parents, but I'm going to cultivate what I have and let God use me. And she gives $525 a week above tithes, above offerings, above building fund for world evangelization because God does something in the heart. So I don't know what God does in a local church. And I could give you hundreds of situations. And it's not just a rich church or a large church or a small church. It's people that understand I serve a God who decides what he's going to give me, saves my ungodly soul, puts me into a local church, and puts me there as it pleases him, and gives me at least a patch. And I'm going to make the most of that patch. So I don't know where you are here tonight, but according to this little practical precept, the Bible says much food is in the tillage of the poor. In other words, I can't make an excuse of what I do for God just because I determine I have little resources, little ability, or little church. I've got to understand God knows what he's doing when he puts me into a local church. So let's look at this precept with those two illustrations in mind and think about what he says. He says there's much food in the tillage of the poor. The first thing I want you to notice about this, I want you to notice, if you could here, the worker's position. The worker's position. Now, you look at your King James Bible, which I'm looking at here, and I'm going to read this, and you tell me if you agree with it. It says, much food is in the tillage of the rich. Is that what your Bible says? Am I seeing wrong? Much food is in the tillage of the rich. No? What kind of Bible are you all looking at? Well, somebody read to me what it says. Yes. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. That was put there by God. God is simply saying, I can take small resources and make something happen. You don't determine what can get out of that. It's as much food is in the tillage of the poor. God says, I'm not concerned about people having a whole lot or having large fields. I decided to give everybody a little patch. And if a man, woman, a boy, a girl will use that patch for my honor and glory, God says, I'll bless it. You pull the weeds, you put out the fertilizer, you plant the seed, I'll give the sunshine, I'll send the rain, and I guarantee you, if I got 100 people out there cultivating their patches, I'll put them all together, and I'll find much food that will feed the people that need it. And you think about the fact that if we get all God's churches and all the people in God's churches that will simply take a look at what we have and let God use it for his honor and glory. I think of the stories we read in the Bible. I think of Luke chapter number 16. Don't turn there when it talks about the talents and, and that God gave. And you know, he talks about the fact that in Luke 16, verses 10 through 12, he says, I have a responsibility as a servant of God. I want you to think about that. Every saved person is a child of God and a servant of God, and everything that we have belongs to God. So my attitude ought to simply be this. I take whatever I have, whatever my situation will be, and I take that and make the most of what I have, whether it's a job, whether it's giving, whether it's time, whether it's talent. If I make the most of what I have, God will look at my effort and give me more, whether it's more responsibility, more to manage. My responsibility is simply this. I have a responsibility as a servant of God to make the most of my little patch. Over in Luke chapter 19, he tells me, not only do I have a responsibility as a servant, I have to understand that I have not only a responsibility as a servant, but there's a requirement of me as a steward. You've been talking about stewardship. Let me mention something about stewardship that's very familiar with it. A steward, according to the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, a steward is one who owns absolutely nothing but manages whatever you have for someone else. All right? Think about this. All of us who are saved here tonight, we are stewards. And as a steward, I don't own my time. I don't own my talent. I don't own my treasure. But I have a responsibility that's given to me by God to manage that for the owner who is God. He owns me. He owns everything that I have. So what God is looking for out of all of us here when it comes to missions commitment, are you making the most of what I have given you? Are you doing the very best? You may think it's just a little patch. You don't be upset because you don't have a farm. Don't be upset because you don't have a high-paying job. Don't be upset because you don't have everything that somebody else would be upset about. Just manage what you have for me. And if you manage what you have, regardless of your situation, God says, I'll produce a whole lot with it. All right, so we see the position of the poor. Then the second thing, he look at that verse, he says, much food is in the tillage. That word tillage, we see not only the work, the worker's position, but the second thing we see here is the work performed. In other words, I can't get around the fact that if I'm saved tonight, I have at least one talent. Every saved person has one talent. Some have more than one talent. So I have to understand, I don't have a big farm. I may not have a big bank account. I may not have a high-paying job, but I've got a little patch. God, who knows all, sees all, knows what is best for me, chose to give me at least a little patch. All right? I may consider the fact that I'm poor because I don't have as much as somebody else. And by the way, you live in America, nobody's poor. It's just what you compare it with. All right? But we may, it doesn't make any difference what I think of me. It's what God sees in me. And God saw fit, if he wanted to make me rich, he could have.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people who are rich would be dangerous.
Oh, boy.
Just because you're rich doesn't mean that you're happy and everything's going great in life.
Right.
All right? But he chose to give us what we have. All right? We may think it's poor. God says, no, you're a manager. I gave you what I can see in you that you can manage. If you can't manage and take care of your little patch, if you're too lazy to go out and pull the weeds out of the patch, what in the world would you do if I gave you a big piece of land? So we need to understand, as Christian people, we have a responsibility as a servant,
and a requirement as a steward to manage what God has given me. Therefore, because I have this little patch of whatever it is, I've got to till it. That means I've got to diligently cultivate it, make the most. I've got to treat it like it's wonderful that God gave me that to manage for him. It's wonderful that God gave me that job. It's wonderful that God gave me that talent. It's wonderful that God gave me that amount of treasure. It's wonderful that God gave me that family. God gave me that family. By the way, it goes beyond just material things. If you have a family, you ought to manage that. They don't belong to you. We're raising them for God. We ought to teach them right and lead them right. We have a little small church. It's not my church. I'm managing it for God. Therefore, I've got to cultivate it. I've got to persevere while I'm serving. I've got to be patient while I'm striving. I've got to be bathed in prayer. After all, it belongs to God. It's my little patch that he gave me to manage for him, and therefore, I'm going to put my very, very best in it. Are you making the most of your little patch? The position of the worker, he says, is poor. You know why I think God uses poor here, and why in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the churches of Macedonia, why they were to eliminate excuses.
Yes, sir.
Do you know how many people make excuses not to do anything spiritually because they don't have anything?
Goodness. Yes, sir.
I mean, I pastor in a church where you take offerings, you try to help somebody, and you find people all the time that are doing this, all the time, rather than taking this and doing this. You know, nobody's too poor to get involved in the work of God. So I've got to cultivate what God gave me. Then I want you to look at Matthew chapter 24 for just a moment. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. The worker's position, he calls them poor. That means that it includes all of us, every single one of us. Then it's the tillage. That's the work performed. I've got to work what God gave me for his honor and glory. I've got to do my very best. But then look at that verse. He says, much food is in the tillage of the poor. We see the wealth produced. God says, I think a lot more of small patches from time to time than I think of large farms. You know, we have to be very careful that we don't get influenced by amounts. We don't get hung up. I remember when I started a church in the banquet room of a hotel, I made a commitment to God. Everybody that walks in there to be a part of the church, I want them all to come the same. I don't ever want to be influenced by somebody who thinks they're important, somebody who has a lot of money. I want everybody to be the same. In all these years of 37 years, we practice that everybody is the same in God's local church. And God puts people in there to please him. And God has done a lot more with small patches than he's been able to do with a whole lot of large farms. And I'm going to tell you something. Just because people have wealth and just because people have large churches, that doesn't mean that they do a whole lot for the cause of world evangelization. And I've seen that. But he says, as much food as in the tillage of the poor, when you take all of these little patches, and then the attitude of the people is, I'm going to maximize my potential. I'm going to work it the best that I can and trust God to do that. And then he says, I'll produce much wealth from it. As a good illustration to illustrate this, is in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, I want you to follow along as I read this parable. For the kingdom of heaven, verse 14 of Matthew 25, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country and who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents and to another 2 and to another 1. Notice this, to every man according to his several ability. All right, the man who had 5, God knew his ability. The one who had 2, God knew his ability. The one that had 1, God knew his ability. Verse 16. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. He used his ability, took the 5 that he had, and he made 5 others. Likewise, he that received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. God expected him. He got 1 talent. God expected him to get another talent. I mean, God is omniscient. He knew what he could do. So the one who did not do it had nothing to do with God. Well, God didn't give me 5. He only didn't give me 2. He gave me 1 little talent. Therefore, it's not going to do any good. I'm going to go bury it. Verse 19. The Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 22. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, take notice, I have gained 2 other talents beside him. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He didn't give any more blessings, any more promise to the one who had 2 and got 2 others than he did that one that had 5. If the one that we're going to read about next had done the 1, he would have given them the same. But God doesn't judge us based on what we do with what he gives us. He said, his Lord said, well done. Verse 24. And he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Well, God says, I give you something, I want you to cultivate it. I want you to use it. I want you to use it for my honor and my glory. Take therefore, verse 28, the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Verse 29, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. I want you to think about that parable for a moment, about these talents. You see, I believe if I take my patch, or I take my big farm, or I take my little piece of land, whatever the size may be, if I understand that I'm to be a servant and a steward and use it for God, and I don't care what my condition in life may be, I believe God will give me 2 things as a servant and as a steward if I'd use my little patch for him. He said to the other 2, and this to me should be the most important reason why we give to missions, why we serve God, why we do what we do. Notice in verse 21, he said, and his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. If I take my little patch, however small it may be, whatever I may think of my condition, if I use it for God, one of the promises I have from the Word of God, I will be given. Amen. eternal recognition. You know what ought to motivate us more than anything else? And how we serve God and how we give and how we witness and how we pray and how we preach. It not should not be whether my name is written up in the sword of the Lord. It should not matter whether my name is mentioned behind the pulpit. It should not matter what the ushers or what the treasurer or what the pastor thinks about what I give. What should matter is, did I cultivate my patch in such a way that the all-knowing, all-seeing, everlasting God will say to me one day when I stand before him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, the reason you ought to make the most of your little patch is for eternal recognition. But because God knows the way we are, we're people. And because we're people, we lead a little earthly praise and a little earthly things. So he said, take that one the other one had in verse 29, give it to the one who had 10. And he says in verse 29, for every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. You know why I'm going to make the most of my little patch and use it for God? I can do it just for the eternal recognition. But God also has promised in his word, and you see that in faith promise teaching and preaching. Not only are we going to get eternal recognition, but he gives us earthly rewards. There's not a person sitting in here tonight who's ever given to God that can't get up tonight and say, he's blessed me abundantly. He's blessed me abundantly. You should have testimony after testimony. All I had was a little patch. You didn't give, put a $50,000 check in like the man did in Kansas, and then $50,000 the next week. You didn't give hundreds of thousands, but you gave from your little patch because you pulled the weeds and put the fertilizer and planted the seed, and God rained down water and gave his sunshine, and whatever was produced from it, you took it. Maybe you had to sacrifice. Maybe you had to pray a little harder. Maybe you had the grace of God upon you just to be able to give it by faith. But you did it. Amen. He said, one day you'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But I won't stop there because you did it. I'll give you earthly rewards. You reap what you sow. Amen. You sow, you reap. You give, you get. What a God we serve. And we need to stop finding excuses why we can't do anything because we don't have as much as somebody else. And start thinking about this factor. I at least have a little patch. And by the way, this is free. If you won't do anything with the little patch, don't waste any time praying for a big field. God's interested in what you're doing, what he's given you to manage for him. And when you do your final faith promise commitment tonight, ask yourself this one question. Am I making the most of my little patch? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, forgive us when we don't cultivate what you've given us to work for you. We find all kinds of excuses about what we don't have. We don't have time. We don't have abilities. We don't have money. Help us to realize we at least we have a little patch. No one can ever say that this great God didn't at least give me a patch. And help me to make the most of it. And Lord, if I make the most of that little patch, you'll give me a bigger patch. If I take responsibility for the little that I have, you'll give me more responsibility. If I manage the material things in life,
You'll give me spiritual things to do. Help me to understand that God expects me to make the most of my little patch. And when we do it, your local church will be blessed abundantly to do what you have commissioned it to do. I pray in the final commitments that will be given by this local church for this upcoming year, may they be given by these people based on how they manage their little patch for your honor and glory. Now you bless the invitation time and bless the commitments tonight, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. Natasha is going to play. And this is the final opportunity that if God speaks to your heart in any area, maybe not just tonight, but anything this week, you have a great time to talk to the Lord. Take a good look at your little patch. Can you honestly say you're making the most of it? I'm going to cultivate it. Stop making excuses. I'm going to do the best I can with what I have. And if God wants me to do more, He'll give me more. But at least I want to make the most of what I have. My little job, my little church, my little resources. What does He think of? See, please, am I using it and doing it well enough that I'll stand before the Bema seat someday and look at the face of my Savior and hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant"? Or am I more motivated to be praised or pat on the back by the preacher or somebody else? Can I honestly say tonight that the God that I serve gave me the patch? Is it His fault that I don't do more? Or is it my fault? Our Father, thank you for what you've given us to manage. Sometimes we're lousy managers, lousy stewards. We forget from time to time, and we forget that we are your servants. We have a responsibility as a servant. There's a requirement for us as stewards that a man be found faithful. And I pray that you'll take all of these little patches. First of all, help every person to till them, cultivate them. And then gather them all together tonight, that collectively they will produce the wealth that's needed to reach their goal. And we thank you for what you've done. Thank you for all that have come this week, the opportunity we've had to be reminded of how great you are. Now you bless now, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated for just a moment.